What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine
and Caroline.
Today, we're talking about the steps that you need to take when you need a big reset, because I need a big reset. And so these are the steps that I need to tell myself to take.
Why do you feel like you need a reset?
I need this personally because I have been in such a rut of feeling like I'm doing the bare minimum just to get by and get the baseline done of my to-do list, which is likely a factor of the time of year. Obviously, we have slightly less energy and we're less motivated to do the extra things in our lives when it's cold and dark and gross outside. But honestly, I haven't been feeling that much. I literally just have a mile long to-do list of work deadlines and stuff that I have to do for other people that are taking up all of my time. So I'm not able to prioritize the things that I typically do for myself, like my baseline routines. All I do these days is work. And for the last 3 weeks, I've dead ass been working until like midnight. And then I don't have time to like do things. I do the bare minimum, like brush my teeth and go to bed, which is not the routines that I have set up for myself. Which we all know that it took me a lot to get to having a solid routine.
True. Long time
that I do every morning and every night. So obviously I just don't have the energy after working late to do that. And then it's stuck in such a bad cycle of being exhausted the next day, but then doing it again the next day and continuing to have the mental energy of knowing I have a ton of stuff to do and knowing I'm falling behind on like my personal tasks. So when I need a reset, a big reset like this, I'm focused more on stability. I'm not trying to overhaul my life. I just want to get back to a solid foundation where I feel like I can add in the extra things and can move forward from there. So as we go through this episode, as we go through the different steps to take, don't think of, you know, overhauling or overdoing anything. We're just trying to get to a good foundation and good baseline again and get out of that rut of feeling overwhelmed and exhausted.
Yeah, that's a good point to make, because a lot of the time I think there's such an urge to completely overhaul something, especially if you feel like, oh, my habits have not been good or I've been falling behind in this. It's like we almost want to then kind of overdo it in the other direction to compensate for that. That never actually works and that never actually goes well, because what isn't changing is the work that is on your plate, right? So if you try to like completely overhaul it in the other direction and you're like, okay, I'm going to
create a new routine
and I'm going to go like above and beyond to do that, that's not going to work. But it's also funny how quickly we will like deprioritize ourselves and our routines when other things come up. And I feel like everybody has experienced that when it comes to work and when it comes to school. You know, sometimes different phases of life get so busy that these structures and these baselines that like we've made to prioritize ourselves, they're kind of like the first thing to go.
Which I think is fair, because that's the only person you are letting down is yourself.
Right. You don't want to let down.
You don't want to let down other people who are expecting something from you. So you have complete control over the things that you're doing for yourself, which is why we all go to that first than to let down other groups of people or other people, whether it be in your work life or personal life or what have you.
That's so real, honestly, because I look back at, oh my God, last spring-ish, like it was my final semester of school. I was also working at the same time. Like, I was so burnt out during this phase that I look back at like photos and videos and stuff and I'm like, oh my God, like I looked so tired. I looked so puffy and so inflamed. I have photos of myself, you know, like drinking energy drinks on the train, like on the way to work and stuff like that. And I'm like,
you got to stop with the energy drinks.
Yeah, my family's always on me about it. But what I explain is like,
it's like a
twice a week treat to myself instead of coffee. Yeah. It's not a daily thing. But anyway,
still too many times.
I like noticed that there was this specific phase of my life like a year ago where I was so burnt out and I was spreading myself so thin with other things that like I really let my own personal habits and things go. And it was so visible. And it took me a while to like kind of reset and get out of it and like come back to prioritizing myself. And it's so interesting because I look and I'm like, why, as someone who cares so much about my health and about, you know, my fitness and my habits and stuff, like, why did I let myself do that? And that actually was really eye-opening, to the point where like, well, I was in school and I was in work, and it's a lot easier to let myself down in a way than to let these other deadlines and external things down. And sometimes you sacrifice that in the moment to say, okay, well, I'm going to graduate and get this degree and then it'll be over and then I can get back to myself and, you know, those things.
And it's not just the easier decision because you don't have to communicate or really put a ton of effort into deprioritizing something if it only pertains to you. But it also makes the most sense because you're only letting one person down. And a lot of the things that, you know, you've committed to for yourself are elective, whereas, which are great, but a lot of the things that you've committed to for other people might be contingent on your job, might be contingent on your family, might, you know, have a snowball effect if you do change it. I've been staying up working late for the past 3 weeks and it's never felt good. But the first week where I, you know, wasn't going to my workout classes and was not waking up early enough to like go for a walk or do whatever or do anything that involves leaving my house and not working, it was fine because that's just what I was doing. Like, that's totally fine. You have short phases where you put more effort into different things than others. That is completely normal and appropriate, and you should be doing that. No week should be exactly the same with where your energy is. The second week started to be like, blah, like again, like I'm really, really run down and tired and I'm not re-energizing myself with the things that I typically do, but I do not have space for it. Now we're in week three and my mom just asked me if I still have a membership at the gym.
I asked you last week.
Yes, because I do, but I haven't been going because the workout classes, I'm not going in the morning because I'm going to be tired and that would just make things worse. So I literally haven't been in a place to go, which is unfortunate. And I'm making myself go today, even though I know it's going to cause me frustration. Yeah, but it's going to piss me off because I have to go.
No, but you, and like, it's going to be good for you. But I know what you're saying. Like, oh, the first week of something like that, you're like, oh, this is just, you know, what I have to do right now. By week
three, it's not going to catch up to you for a minute.
Yeah, by week three, not only does it feel like a habit that now you're going to have to break, but it also, like, you're starting to actually feel the detrimental effects of not prioritizing yourself. So today we're running through the steps you're taking to kind of do this reset.
Because my to-do list with this stuff and my deadlines, the list is not getting smaller. It's not getting smaller. And because of that, there's no end in sight. So I'm going to have to create an end in sight. And so that's what this is. Mm-hmm. It is
choosing to have a reset right now.
Choosing to have a reset, restabilizing myself so that I can get back to my neutral. Because I've been in the negative. You know, sometimes you have phases where you're in the positive. You're doing a lot more socialization. You're doing a lot more fun and elective things. And there are other phases where you're in the negative where you're not doing any of those elective things because you're filling your time with other commitments and responsibilities that may not be energizing or fun or exciting for you in the moment. That's fine. Either way, we always want to come back to a solid neutral. And all these habits and routines that we do, and I've talked about this before, it's not to like raise you into a manic episode of being completely abundantly, overwhelmingly positive and happy and excited and living this crazy lifestyle 24/7. That's not the goal. That's actually really uncomfortable. That's fun for short spurts and moments, but that's really uncomfortable if you do it long term, and it's definitely not sustainable if you do it long term, and that's where we're going to come back to the big crash. So when we do a reset, we're not going to swing the pendulum to go back to like a manic high. What we're going to do is just get back to our neutral and stay solidly in the neutral and remind ourselves where that is and what that is and how maintainable that is once you get that reset. So step one to doing so, and this may sound counterintuitive, but is pushing through. Dig yourself deeper into the hole and knock out everything that you have with a deadline that needs to be prioritized. Mm-hmm. Get it off your plate. Because what happens when you don't complete these tasks is they continue to be mental energy suckers in the back of your head because you know you're still going to need to complete them.
Monkey on your back.
So what you need to do is get them over with. Power through, push through. Don't add new things or unnecessary things to your to-do list. Identify what is really essential and what is not essential, like we talked about in the beginning. There are some things that you can choose right now for a short period of time, commitments that you may have made for yourself, hopes that you may have had for yourself. If you need to deprioritize those to power through and restabilize yourself, do that.
Mm-hmm.
But what you don't want to do is keep everything because then you're never going to get out of the state of being overwhelmed or needing a reset. The other thing you don't want to do is get rid of all of them because those things, some of them can just go away and they were completely elective from the beginning and you can revisit them at a different time when you have the capacity. Some of them need to be done. You may have deadlines with other people. You may have commitments and responsibilities with other people or to yourself that need to be completed. So you need to complete them before you're able to return to this baseline neutral where you can continue moving forward.
Yeah. I think it's a powerful skill to be able to say, I have too much on my plate and like admit that and say like, this is not good for me. It's stressing me out. It's overwhelming me. I cannot continue like this. If anybody is kind of has this overachieving go-getter type attitude, like it's so exciting to put new things on your plate to be like, oh my God, yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I want to do this. And then all of a sudden you've signed yourself up for like way too much. And so I assume, you know, as Girls with Goals listeners, a lot of people are kind of like that in the sense like you want to chase all different things. Sometimes it gets to a point where you realize that, you know, you're stressing yourself out and you're burning yourself out and it might show up physically. Like I've had stress affect my skin a ton and cause really bad breakouts before. I've had it affect obviously like my body and my energy, or it might just put you in a bad place mentally. And so to be able to, you know, kind of step up and be honest with yourself and say, maybe this is too much and maybe I actually do need to clear something off of my plate. And choose that, like, I'm not going to do this thing right now, but it is for the greater good of my experience and my well-being.
Right.
You know, that's a strong thing to be able to do in itself when you're somebody who always wants to just, like, keep doing more.
Right. So step one of a reset is actually completing the looming tasks. So don't add anything new. Get rid of the things you can truly get rid of. And the things that you can't, put your head down and power through it. Because I promise when you lock in, and this goes for anything, you're not going to stay in a state of being locked in 24/7. You'd use that as a power to get you through in moments like these where you need to get a lot done effectively in a short period of time. Because I promise you, there's a lot of dilly-dallying. There's a lot of like double checking and confirmation and space for extra creativity in your day-to-day life, which is great. And that is how we should be completing tasks. Until you have a moment where you need to lock in and you need to get rid of the double, triple, quadruple checking. You need to get rid of the trial and error. You need to get rid of that space for abundant creativity and just get the things done.
I was actually thinking about this yesterday, that perfectionism can really work against yourself sometimes, because a lot of the time we think that, you know, doing something perfectly one time is what is going to get the result, or that that's what matters. But actually, I think most things in life come from the compounding of doing something good enough over and over and over again. Whether it's your fitness, it's not about having one perfect workout. It's about showing up and moving your body the best you can every single day. And like, sometimes it's going to be cut short. Sometimes it's going to be weaker, but you're actually going to end up making way more progress if you show up every day versus if you do the world's hardest workout one time and then never again.
Right.
And a lot of the time, consistency like compounds. And it's like anything that you're doing in work as well. When you have tasks that you do like day in and day out, you learn from doing them over and over again, not from doing it perfectly one time.
And Catherine and I have both been living out of Airbnbs and temporary apartments for the past 6 months. And we were sitting in San Diego last week eating another meal out when I realized how much I've missed cooking for myself. Going from one apartment and kitchen to the next started to feel so chaotic for me, and I was barely cooking anymore.
Every kitchen had random pots and pans and different tools, and we never fully settled into routine, so we ended up eating out way more than we normally would.
So now that we're both home in New Hampshire for the summer, I am so excited to actually enjoy cooking again, and I'm so excited to use my Caraway cookware again. Like, it makes cooking feel so calm and intentional, and I have really missed it.
Their cookware not only looks good in the kitchen, but it genuinely makes cooking easier. The ceramic coated pans are super easy to clean, and everything cooks so evenly. Eggs literally slide right off.
And I need that, and Catherine will confirm, I burn things very easily, and these pans make me feel like I actually know how to cook. We've also been using their food storage now that it's farmer's market season. We've been bringing home fresh produce every week and organizing it all.
And I swear by the fact that having a clean, organized kitchen makes you want to cook healthier meals and spend more time cooking. And clearly other people agree, because Caraway is already in over 2.5 million homes and has more than 155,000 five-star reviews.
Right now, you can save up to $230 on Caraway's 12-piece cookware set versus buying the products individually.
And if you add their fan favorite Minis Duo, you can save up to $350.
Visit carawayhome.com/goals to take an additional 10% off your next purchase with our code GOALS.
That's carawayhome.com/goals, or use code GOALS at checkout.
So once we are done with pushing through and maybe digging yourself into a deeper hole of needing a reset, you'll be pleased to get to step number two, which is your immediate surroundings. There is a lot that we think about that contributes to this feeling of being overwhelmed, of having a bunch of looming tasks, of feeling disheveled and feeling like we need a reset. there's a lot of that we can't see and we can't identify, but there's a lot that we can, like your room, your desk, your purse, like even the bag you bring to work. Do you ever feel when I get hit with like, I have so much to do, so many looming tasks, I'm like, okay, my fucking bag is messy. Yeah. Like, you know, and you have to dig through to find your charger and you can't find it. Like that is it's like the straw that broke the camel's back, but it's such a snowball effect where you're like, oh my God, like the walls are caving in. And my top left drawer is messy. Like, you know? So step number two is to clean and reset and restabilize the things that you can immediately see and touch and feel. Obvious answers, your room, your desk, your bag, yourself also. I think that's a huge one. If you are dressed like shit, your hair is dirty, like, you're going to feel like shit. Sorry. There's no other answer. Than to wash your hair and maybe put on things other than sweats, or, you know, maybe put a little extra effort into your outfit to make yourself feel good and make yourself feel re-energized and make yourself feel revived, because that, I promise, will do wonders for how productive you continue to be and how motivated you continue to be. Getting dressed and like putting yourself together to a point where you feel comfortable and normal and clean is the small dopamine hit that you need to continue to attack other things throughout your day in the same way that you're showing up as.
Yeah. Look good, feel good is actually such a real thing. This morning, I went out for a quick run in the neighborhood. And
you
said
you're ugly, like you are wearing my jacket, so you can't say that.
No. But I, like, you know, put an outfit on, and obviously it's winter. And so for the most part, I'm just like, I want to put on things that make me feel warm. I put on like a hoodie and I put on a hat that I didn't actually like, and my face looked really tired, and I looked at myself and I was like, ugh, like I look gross. I look disheveled. And I actually, if I like actually went out and ran right now, I would be so low energy because I would feel like I look gross. Like, you know what I mean? Like that feeling where it's like, I don't want to like look gross and be disheveled. And also any person that I pass on the street, it's just going to make me like hyper aware of how like junky I look when I don't actually have to. I just like very quickly, I was like, I put like a little bit of concealer on my face. I swapped the hat. I swapped it, you know, my jacket for a fleece of Ann Catherine's, as she said. And I felt like just a little bit better enough that I actually was like more energized and motivated to do it. And that is just kind of like one example of how it honestly does make a really big difference in your energy if you feel like you've at least put yourself a little bit together and you're putting somewhat of a better foot forward.
Other immediate things that you can do are force yourself to eat a good meal, because I feel like that's a really easy thing to deprioritize, is like cooking for yourself and putting extra effort into a meal. If you need an immediate hit, and it doesn't have to be from right now, I never eat a bad meal again. You can revert back to deprioritizing that. But in the moment, for a quick turnaround and a quick burst of motivation and hope.
Just a little bit of like, hope.
You can snap out of it and take an extra 5 minutes one time to cook a better meal or put something better together.
Mm-hmm. You know what I think it is like when we get in these ruts, it almost becomes an excuse to deprioritize ourselves, and we get really comfortable doing that for a minute. But the second you do something to actually make yourself feel good, like have what?
I haven't told anyone this yet, but Ann Catherine and I are planning a trip back to Hong Kong in September. We lived there for 4 years growing up, which I feel like I reference somewhat often on the podcast because it shaped so much of why I love to travel and just who I am. To be fair, it's like a very important part of my life, especially by rebuilding the Mandarin that I lost after moving back to the US for high school. You guys know I love and use Rosetta Stone for Mandarin in general, but instead of doing it more casually, I've been committing more often recently because I have this trip that I'm looking ahead to. Instead of memorizing random vocabulary words, or constantly translating everything back to English, Rosetta Stone immerses you directly in the language. You learn by connecting words with images and context, and then gradually build those words into phrases and full sentences, which feels like a much more natural way to learn a language. They also have this true accent feature, which I find super helpful, especially with Mandarin when you're working with all different types of tones. It gives you real-time feedback on your pronunciation. Which is super helpful because I think understanding Mandarin has always come back more easily for me than confidently speaking it. So having a way to actually practice speaking out loud has been really helpful. And I know I'm not going to become fluent again overnight, but every lesson does make me feel a little more connected to the language and place that were such a big part of my childhood. And now that I have this trip on the calendar, it's given me even more motivation to stay consistent. If you're ready to start your language learning journey, head to rosettastone.com and use code TODAY to get started. That's rosettastone.com/today.
A meal with vegetables or take one like everything shower. It reminds you how you actually should feel. And that's like a big wake-up right. call to just do one of those things one time. It can honestly really help to snap you out because it makes you realize like, oh my God, I've been really using this as an excuse and like not keeping myself put together, not eating good meals and using this as an excuse to like, you know, kind of treat myself like junk. And if you do one thing to treat yourself well, it kind of reminds you who you are a little bit.
Right. And honestly, a lot of that is, it becomes mental clutter for yourself too, because you walk around with the weight of like, I feel like shit. I'm performing like shit. I have no motivation. I don't like who I am right now, but I'm going to ignore that because I have X, Y, and Z to still do. And because I have all of these other things to still do, but that continues to weigh on you and like slow you down, hold you back, whatever it may be. Other forms of like mental clutter are the loop of I'll do it tomorrow. That is such a big one, and definitely when you are like me and have a to-do list that is a mile long or a list of deadlines that's a mile long, I obviously am going to deprioritize the things that I did not get to that day, but then it becomes, oh shit, I have more to do tomorrow. And then things get pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and not only do you continue to have the actual list of things that you need to do, you're carrying the mental clutter of continuing to have that on your plate longer than you had intended to.
As often as I can, I try to follow the 5-minute rule with things, which is that if a task is going to take you less than 5 minutes, you do it the second you think about it. Because if you don't do it and you add it to your to-do list, it creates this mental clutter that wears you down and it makes the task feel like so much bigger than it is. But if you can just do the one thing in the moment and get it done, it's going to create momentum for you to just continue doing more things and staying on top of your stuff.
Right.
Especially when it is something that literally takes 5 minutes, like responding to an email. So often I'm like, oh, I'll respond to that email later, and I put it on my to-do list, when realistically writing a response could take 5 minutes in the moment.
You don't need to put it on. Yeah,
you don't that's need that thing. To be something in your to-do list. You just write a response right now.
Emails and texts that you know you have to answer and that you intend to answer, but you won't. Like, obviously, we all do this. And you create an additional task for yourself that doesn't need to be there.
I like do that with text all the time. Right. I could just respond to something in 15 seconds and it's not actually that big of a deal. The more often that I can just do those things right away in the moment, the less you just create all of these, this random added stress for yourself.
Exactly. Other things that are mental clutter that are really getting me is half done tasks that you keep like remembering you have to do, or you get in that loop. Similar to the loop of I'll do it tomorrow. But if you like start something and don't get to finish it, or you lose steam while finishing it, which is completely normal, and you might want to switch to something else and regain motivation or, you know, get started on something else, like that's not a problem at all. But then tomorrow comes and you're like, oh shit, I have to do that too, like let me add that, and you know, it continues on the cycle of things that you have to do. And not only energy that you have to put out to complete these tasks, but energy in the back of your mind that is spinning and being used up while you just think about them and know that they're there and know that you have to do them. Karen touched on this earlier, but just like saying yes to things, or when you commit to things or promise things, and especially as we've talked about with things that pertain to other people and our commitments to other people, if you do that out of a sheer place of like feeling obligated to do so or feeling guilty if you don't, then you carry not only the task that you have to do it, but also the mental weight of like, I don't want to do
this.
Same thing goes for plans. If you have plans that you are feeling overwhelmed and stressed about and you don't actually want to go to them anymore, but you go through the week and you know that, oh, I don't want to go to these plans. I don't want to go to these plans. And you're thinking about your to-do list. You're overwhelmed with whatever. You're overwhelmed with the fact that you haven't caught up on your habits and your own personal commitments to yourself. And then you're like, oh, fuck. And now I have to go to the X, Y, and Z plan, which you should enjoy, wanting to go to dinner with a friend or go do this, go for a walk with someone or do something else. You should enjoy doing that and be excited to do that. And that should be a relaxing and rejuvenating thing. But because there's so much else, it then becomes a negative impact on yourself and adds to that mental clutter.
Yeah, I definitely have a bad habit of getting excited about something in the moment, liking an idea in the moment, and committing to something or saying that I'll do something. Like a lot of the time I might be talking to people about like whether it's their business and they're looking for social media marketing advice and I love their idea. And I'm like, oh my God, let me think of ideas for you. Let me write something up that could help you. Cause in the moment I'm like, oh, I would love to do this. I don't think about the actual, you know, time that I have and to be able to do that. And then I get myself in a mess where I'm like, oh, I just created this task, but now it's been a couple of weeks. And so now I feel like they're waiting on me to do it. And I probably shouldn't have committed to this in the first place, knowing that I didn't have the time, because now it looks like I'm not following through with like what I told somebody I would do. And like, I actually, and maybe it seems like I'm uninterested, but I actually am. And then I get myself in this mental rut where I'm like, ah, damn, now I feel like I seem like a bad person because I've taken so much time to do this, or it seems like I'm uninterested when I'm not.
All of this to say, we are not here to create more work for ourselves. We're not here to create more mental clutter. We're not here to make more physical commitments for ourselves. And we're definitely not here to overhaul our lives in this reset phase to create more work for ourselves and make things harder for ourselves. We are here to stabilize. We're like, a reset is literally resetting yourself back to the baseline, putting yourself on solid ground, getting back to that foundation. That is what this is all about. So those previous things, like clean your room, put yourself together, maybe like clean out the immediate things that you see and touch and that overwhelm you immediately, like your work bag or your car or whatever.
Oh yeah,
it may be, you know, see, that's the thing. Your car, even you slowly.
Honestly,
just,
for like, me, it's like I'm tired, putting away the laundry. Like putting away my laundry, because my closet stresses me out a little bit because I always feel like it's too cluttered and I have too much stuff. I've talked about this before and I don't know what I like and what I don't like anymore. So then when I have laundry and it's clean and it's folded and then like, ugh, I have to put it away. And then that means that I have to face the organization of my closet. That gets me.
So step number three in this reset is to move on to things that will set you up for continued success in the future. So this is where we're doing a little bit more time intensive things than just cleaning our room or cleaning our immediate space and putting ourselves together one time. This is where we are deep cleaning or reorganizing your closet so that you reset, which then makes it easier for you to get dressed in the morning, because you know that the only things in your closet are things that you want to wear, because you've taken inventory and you know what you want to wear and you have kind of outfits pre-picked out, and it makes the mornings easier and it makes you feel more put together and feel more elevated, which are both wins. This may be meal prepping.
Yeah.
Or just cooking.
Yeah.
I don't know if I said on the last episode, but this is me making my kibble, like people kibble.
Human kibble.
Human kibble. That sounds so bad. I have not meal prepped. I should, because I really do. Like, my issue is not that I don't like vegetables and that I don't like eating healthy and that I don't like eating high protein and well planned out things. It's that I just don't have any interest in doing that. So I'm going to try doing that by people kibble. And it's like, literally, I don't know how to describe it, but I'm picturing like ground beef, cucumbers, tomatoes, more like cruciferous vegetables that don't break down, maybe some beans. And I'm also getting better at like my food touching.
Oh, like combining.
Because I also used to avoid that because I didn't like my food combining and touching, and like I'd much rather eat every ingredient separately. But I'm liking soup nowadays.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I had chili a while ago and I really liked it.
What? You've always been so anti-chili.
Yeah, I said that's this. Shocking. I said that I've been anti-chili, but I had turkey chili at Deer Valley. A mid-mountain snack. Yeah.
Wow.
It was great.
I'm shocked.
It was really good.
Yeah, meal prepping. I'm not on a perfect cadence of meal prepping, but I do know that when I do it, which is probably more like every other week than every week at this point, you know, I'm working towards it. I'm not a perfect person.
Not a perfect. That wasn't okay.
Sorry, I thought that was an invitation.
It wasn't, and you were really offbeat.
But I know that when I do it, I like feel so much better, because otherwise, I'm pretty much just putting meals together with whatever is in my fridge in the moment. I don't like to cook and clean for every meal, and so I will avoid that by just like, you know, putting together things that are in my fridge. That's why I love a yogurt bowl so much. It doesn't require any cooking. You just put it together. But when I take like one day out of a week and I prep proteins and meats and I cut up vegetables, or I cook vegetables, or I make one big salad, or I cook rice or quinoa or bake sweet potatoes and have some sort of carb source so that those are the things that I can just pick in the moment, then I am so much better for it because I eat so much more healthily. I feel way more on top of my shit, but I still don't have to cook and clean at every meal. And so that is a huge thing that is helpful for me. And I'm trying to be more consistent with it.
Okay. So step three are things that will set you up for future success. And these things take a little bit more effort. So we're only doing these things after we've knocked out our to-do list and we feel more available to do things. We're only doing these things after we've reset our immediate environment so our space is clean and free of mental and physical clutter. In step three, when we're adding in these bigger ticket things that will help us long term but take more initial energy, this is where we can add back in those elective things that we deprioritized, because those are essential for maintaining our own personal homeostasis and habits and like health. But it's really easy and it's almost appropriate to deprioritize these when we're in phases where we need to cut back on things. Like we're so busy that we need to cut things out. So whatever that may be for you, for me, my like morning routines, this is literally just, hey, let me, I'm going to go to Whole Foods and get all the things that I've ran out of and didn't re-up. And I'm going to take some extra time and I'm going to make my juice at Christie's so that I actually have celery juice. And then I feel like I have all of my habits prepared for me in the morning.
Are you going to do ginger in it? Like celery ginger obviously. Or something? I would love some of that.
Not willing to share.
But that's understandable, honestly. It takes a lot to juice celery to even get one serving.
The juice, I always do celery celery, lemon, kale, cucumber, ginger, and that's my base. Green apple.
Ooh, a little.
And it can't be red apple because one time I went to the juicery and they gave me
Why would they apple? Put a red apple in a juice? No one's ever done that. No. It's always green apple.
The juicery does that.
Really?
I said, excuse me, this tastes like sugar. May I ask what apples you used in it?
Well, because green apple's like so much nicer because it has that sourness to it that just like works with juice.
Right. But apple, then you think you're drinking apple juice, like a toddler's apple juice, which is just not what you order.
Yeah, because I feel like regular apple juice gives red apple, but something that you're going to pair with celery right. and lemon, green apple.
It has to be green apple. That's why I haven't been going to get it on my own because the juice place around here, which is great, they just use red apples these days. And I always ask before I get something and then if it's red, I don't get it or get something else. So this is the step where we're going to add those things back in and put effort into making sure you're setting yourself up for success with bringing in your morning routines and your habits back in, or aspects of health that maybe you let go that are not beneficial for you to let go long term. So we're prioritizing bringing them back in a sustainable and beneficial way. And then number four is restore your energy and do things you enjoy. This is where your tasks are off your plate. You've reset, you know, all your to-do lists. You've reset your lifestyles and your habits. This is where we have space and interest in bringing in relaxing things and bringing in social things and bringing in the extra things mm-hmm. that are completely elective. Things like hobbies, things like getting offline and completely disconnecting because you're able to disconnect because you don't have tasks and obligations to respond to other people or be available to other people. These are the stress-free, relaxing activities that we're bringing in. This is step four, the final step.
When you get back into a balance of things where you're prioritizing your fitness, your social life, some sort of fun hobbies, and you're also able to, you know, be productive and get your work done, it feels so good. Like, I feel like that's honestly one of the best feelings of life, to feel like you are completely on your routine and pouring into all different aspects of your life. And so this is kind of the most exciting step once you've stripped back other things, done a bit of a reset of your environment and your routines, that now you can get back to that. When I'm feeling stressed and overwhelmed about work and tasks, and also because obviously every single one of us is on our computer all day, no matter what work we do, like we're attached to the internet. It honestly makes me more addicted to my phone and my devices because it's really hard to shut off. And the more that I'm on answering emails and doing work, the more that I get distracted by doing other scrolling and stuff like that. So when we're stripping this back and getting back to our basics and creating more time for the other parts of your routine, you can also go listen to our digital detox episode to get some good ideas for how you can strip that back. And our episode next week is going to talk all about how to focus on yourself. So different mindset shifts and then actual actions and activities that you can do to really focus on yourself. Because I feel like everyone says, oh, focus on yourself. But like, what does that actually mean and how do you actually do it? So that's what we're going to get into next week as well. So you can listen to the digital detox. You can pair that with what we're talking about for the reset here, and then it'll be a pretty good segue into an episode on focusing on yourself.
So as a reminder, as we reset, some ground rules are don't overhaul your life. We are stabilizing. We are not overcorrecting. We're not swinging the pendulum and, you know, creating a whole new life and creating more work for ourselves. We are going back to our baselines, to our foundations that we've already established because you've been listening to this podcast and you know how to do that. We're simplifying mental and physical energy because both have a really strong impact on us. Mental clutter, physical clutter, we've talked about this, and I really like the idea of mental and physical clutter because it's tangible and intangible, but both are overwhelming and I think they feel the same. And evaluate your priorities. Check in with yourself. See what you can take off your plate and what is appropriate to take off your plate and what you need to double down on and what you need to knock out. Because it is not benefiting you to have half-assed tasks or to, you know, keep pushing things off tomorrow and keep them on your plate. Grab a chunk of things that you are capable of doing and do them. And then you will still long-term accomplish all of those things. But it's just about how much you are keeping in that space of mental clutter and how much you're keeping as a looming task that is negatively impacting you. So if you reevaluate your priorities, it will set you up for a better chance of getting things done more effectively and more enjoyably. So the four steps to having a successful and effective reset when you feel like you are overwhelmed and need a reset on your life are: number one, keep pushing through, thug it out, get the shit that you need to get done. And everything else, deprioritize. Then we can move on to step number two, which is creating visible progress immediately. So clean your room, put yourself together, clean your desk, clean your car, everything that you can see and touch and immediately feel, reset individually. Then we can move on to step number three, which are bigger ticket things that can set you up for longer term success. So deep cleaning or reorganizing, meal prepping. Resets don't stick if you create more work for yourself. So these things are more effort when you do them, but take a lot of effort away long term. And then finally, restore your energy by doing things you enjoy. So get offline, practice your hobbies, any stress-free thing that helps you relax and restore your energy, do it. And that is the reset. That is a life reset focused on stabilization, not continuing to overwhelm yourself, not continuing to add things to your plate. We are simplifying and we are prioritizing the correct things.
And then Catherine's going back to the gym today.
Like 6:45 is, I hate that time.
What is it? Is it spin?
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Hopefully this is an episode that you guys can come back to when you need a big life reset, or if you're feeling it now, because it is kind of that time of year where I feel like maybe we've all gotten ourselves in a little bit of a rut, and you can use this as motivation and as steps to get yourself out of that when you need a reset. Thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at Caroline Kinnean,
at Catherine Kinnean,
and at Girls with Goals Pod. Make sure you're following the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. Send this to a friend who might need it. And we will see you guys next week.